This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jared Smith here on a Saturday, getting you ready for the NFL, letting you know what's going on out there in college football as well. Appreciate you guys being here with us on this holiday weekend. Probably traveling, did some traveling out there, a lot of you guys. So appreciate you making the time for us here as we get into the LA Rams on the road at the Carolina Panthers. The Rams, my personal number one team in my power ratings.
Agreed.
Think that they have been the most complete team in the NFL so far this year. 10.5, though. It is on the other side of the 10 on the road across the country, if you care about all that stuff, against the Panthers, a 45-45.5 point total here. In this one, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers' defense has been a little bit leaky. They've actually, overall numbers have been okay this year, EPA. But over the last 4 weeks, 20th in explosive run rate allowed. And the Rams' offense, we know, loves to run the football. I actually think, now Stafford's my MVP right now, but I actually think the Rams' defense might be the best unit on the field in this game. The Rams' defense is top five in all those explosive categories that we love to track. And I think the Panthers' offense will struggle here. If you believe the spread is correct and you think the game script, like I've done this with some Rams games recently, is I've played the game script. Instead of laying the big number, I've played the game script. We think the Rams are going to be on the front foot. We think the Panthers are going to be behind. So let's play the game script. What do I mean by that? Stafford under passing attempts.
Yeah.
Dowdle under rushing yards, right? Like we're playing the game script where Bryce Young's going to be behind throwing it. The Rams are going to be ahead running it. I don't know which running back is going to be the guy. Sometimes it's Corum, sometimes it's Williams. Williams has kind of been the guy, but they like Corum a lot. So you could make a case for either one going over his rushing yards prop. I've played both of them over at points during the year as well. But if we believe the Rams are the best team going to be on the front foot in this game, I think you play the game script instead of laying double digits on the road.
Your starting center going to be out for the Panthers in this one. Starting linebacker in Roseboom is out for them as well. Of course, Morig is suspended for the below the belt. So your starting safety is out. J.C. Horn at corner is also out.
Oh, this is going to be a rough game, I think, for Carolina.
For the Panthers. So it is. It's rough. I mean, that's three starters on the defensive side against this Rams offense that is a well-oiled machine. The only thing, of course, to take of note, and I don't think it's going to matter against the Panthers. Maybe this plays into a handicap a little bit later for us, but they did have to move Rob Havenstein to IR. He's their starting right tackle over on the Rams side of things. But again, I don't think that matters really for this game so much, but something that we maybe take into account as we move in for the Lord. I think this is right. I think they're a double-digit favorite in this game. I just get a little tripped up when you have a team like the Rams that have Super Bowl aspirations. You're up 17 in the fourth quarter, which is kicking the crap out of a team.
Yeah.
And there's 2 minutes and 18 seconds left, and you just let the Panthers, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter if they score. It means
if you're up
nothing.
14 yeah,
it
to means 17 nothing. Points
it means
with 2 minutes left.
It means nothing. Yeah. And so you just, whatever, and they go down, and you're holding this 10.5 ticket, and there's no reason for the Panthers to go for two if they're because it gets it to 9. So they kick the extra point
and you lose
by the hook. And I'm just like, I can't mentally go through that.
And that is the case for
betting
playing alternatively. The game script
Like you're saying, playing the alternate ways. Yeah. Yeah.
Playing the game script. And I think in the NFL guys, once you hit the, let's call it week 8, let's call it the Halloween ish mark. The moves in the spread are incremental. Half point here, half point there, maybe a point or two at max. But the numbers are right, and you just have to bank on the fact that the NFL is the most efficient market. And if that is the case, what do you feel comfortable playing? Would you rather, and this is a more of a bankroll question for your own personal choice as well. Like, would you rather just make one large bet on the spread, or would you rather play 3 or 4 props, spread out your risk a little bit and play them according to your Martin Scorsese game script that you've written out? And I think I prefer First of all, the prop market to me is the more bettable market. End of story. Like, once you get some data on these teams and you kind of know what their tendencies are, I do think you can find matchups, especially in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line, explosive play rate. I do think there are opportunities in the prop market that don't exist side or total. But once you get to these big spreads late in the year, we kind of know what the game scripts are going to be. And you just have to bet into those game scripts. And I think I've had some success doing that over the years.
New Orleans Saints are on the road at the Miami Dolphins. It is 4.5 out here behind us, but 5.5 everywhere else. So the Saints getting a little bit of love here at Circa. 41.5 to 42.5 is the total here in this one. Miami coming out of a bye. And you and I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show. Has at least been a viable NFL team out on the field over the last month. I thought for sure that we'd be looking here and this Miami team would quit. And instead, I think we've seen this team kind of fighting out there. And so I get this. I get the number attached here. I get the spread, actually. And honestly, if somebody said, here's a free $100 and you have to bet this game, I think I'm probably laying the points with Miami as opposed to taking them with New Orleans.
I make this game 9.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm higher on Miami because of what you mentioned. They've won 3 out of their last 4. 2 is an outright dog. One of them is against the Bills. So you got to kind of give them some respect. I think you have to what you have to do is they're above 500 ATS this year. What you have to do is you have to remove that stretch of the year where they looked like they were quitting because they don't look like they're quitting. And if they don't look like they're quitting, then that anchor that you are weighing their rating down with doesn't exist. And it's Tua and it's Waddle and it's Ashane and it's a really good running game and a really good offensive coach coming off of a bye, clearly showing you that they're not quitting, facing a team in the Saints that's starting Tyler Shuck. I think this is his third start for Shuck.
Yeah.
Who has shown you nothing. And New Orleans, meanwhile, played above their number, I think, for the first 8 weeks or so. We expected New Orleans to be the worst team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They weren't for the first few weeks. Now they're kind of showing you that they are.
Yeah.
And if that does flip where Miami reverts back to the team, their win total was 8.5 prior to the year, and New Orleans reverts back to the team that their win total was 5.5, well, what would you make that game with Miami being at home off a bye? Probably a touchdown's fair. And now we're at 4.5. So I think you wait. If people want to keep betting New Orleans, by all means. I bet 5.5 earlier in the week with Miami. If it keeps coming down, I'll probably take another slice of Miami at some point.
Yeah, I think that this Miami team could actually kind of, I think they might go out and put it on New Orleans.
Like, I agree.
Yeah, like I think they could put it on them pretty good.
If they're at peak capacity, they run it down the Saints' throat.
The bet I made and the number has crept up a tad. We do have a market low of 38.5. It was 36.5 a little bit earlier. And I know you're going to say, dude, it's 2 yards, but 2 yards when we're talking about Devin Neal, who's going to be filling in for the Saints against.
Yeah, no Alvin Kamara,
yeah,
too.
No Alvin Kamara in this game. So basically, you don't have to be efficient. You basically just, I mean, we need 13 carries at 3 yards a carry to get to 39 yards, you know? And so I don't think Neal is great, but he's the only option. And so we need 13 carries at 3 yards a carry, essentially, here in this one. And so, fair is fair. I had 36.5 earlier in the week. I think 38.5 is still playable. Anything,
I would agree.
You know, once you start creeping up, people like to play overs. It's going to get out of hand here. There is a 41.5 out there. So just to be aware, people are betting the over on this thing. Shocker. But I do think that there is a world that exists where, you know, they try to at least keep the Miami offense on the side.
Yeah, 50 times. Yeah. Who are you going to throw to?
Yeah. And so, like, you don't want Shuck, like you said, out there dropping back every single time. And so I think there's a world that exists where at least early on they try to get him the ball several times. And, you know, like I said, you don't have to be incredibly efficient to get to 37 yards.
And if Tua, if that offense is humming, you got to figure out a way to keep your defense off the field. I think I expected more, pun intended, from Kellen Moore last week.
Yeah.
They were coming off the bye. They were in the situation where they were the home favorite against Atlanta, and the Falcons stuffed them into a locker. I mean, Atlanta's defense just was relentless in that game. You want to say it was bad Saints offense? I'm not going to argue with that. But I expected more from, you had the entire bye week to get something put together with your new rookie quarterback, and they had nothing.
So, Jared, we looked whenever we got in here at the Heisman odds. We talked about Diego Pavia having a big game today. He had consistently sunk and was at 10-1 whenever we brought it up. 6-1.
Now, guys, he's not winning the Heisman.
6-1. So people were watching this game. So now Fernando Mendoza, who was at +115, is now +140. Julian Sayin, who was at +140, is now at +160. So Diego Pavia has moved the Heisman market with his performance today. Down as we were on air from 10-1 to 6-1 in the Heisman market. Now, again, fine performance today. No doubt about it. Fine performance. He's not going to win it.
No. And what it shows is how reactive these markets are. They aren't baked in reality. They are baked in money. And if money comes in, not necessarily sharp money, just money comes in, some Jokel out there in Nashville is watching the Vandy game. Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm throwing down money on buy. He looks great.
Yeah.
That's going to move the market.
Yeah.
And it's not predictive. It's reactive.
It's unreal. So that's it. You're getting a better price. If you liked Mendoza or Sayin, you're getting a better number on him.
I would take Sayin and Love, and I feel like between those two, you got the winner.
Virginia 7-0. They're in the red zone right now against Virginia Tech. 5:20 left in the second quarter. Alabama and Auburn are scoreless about halfway through the first quarter. USC on the board 7-0 against UCLA. 4 minutes left in the first quarter there. Tulane all over Charlotte. If you're wondering, Charlotte's 1-10 on the season. Oof. So Tulane's up 14-0 in the first quarter there on them. And scoreless SMU and Cal. We do have a later kickoff between Notre Dame and Stanford, but that is a 33-point spread out there. If you're betting 33-point spreads, good on you. Falcons, Jets, 49ers, Browns when we come back.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jared Smith here with you on a Saturday as we continue to roll along here in the NFL slate, where the Atlanta Falcons will go on the road to the New York Football Jets as 3-point favorites in a game with a 37.5 to a 38.5 point total. They will be doing this with Kirk Cousins under center. They will also be doing this without the services of Drake London as well. It is an offense that is going to guess rely on Darnell Mooney and see what they can get out of Bijan as much as humanly possible. Now, that being said, they are fairly healthy on the defensive side of the ball. No real injuries to speak of there. And then, of course, you're a Jets fan, right?
I am, sadly.
I was going to say you can at least look at this one and try to explain to people what's going on. You do have Jarvis Brownlee listed as doubtful for the Jets. He's their nickel corner. That doubtful means out. I mean, they never play whenever it's doubtful. So that's kind of the big injury there to watch on the Jets side of things. I mean, they keep throwing the ball to A.D. Mitchell and John Mechie. I mean, it's something to look at. I mean, like, I guess they're trying to figure out what they have in both of those guys.
Yeah, and Tyrod Taylor obviously is not what you want, but he's what you got. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that looks like for them for the rest of the year. This particular game, I struggle to see how they move the ball, and that's why the total's in the high 30s. I didn't check the weather at the Meadowlands, if there is any weather. Kirk Cousins outdoors, probably not in the swamps of Jersey, which can be a little windy sometimes.
Dude, he is dust.
I know. I mean, to be fair, I actually think he operates well within structure, but you just can't win in the NFL if that's all you can do.
So what we are getting is sustained 10 to 15 gusts, about 20 to 25 with rain likely. So rain is likely.
I would play it under here. Mm-hmm. I feel like also the Jets through both keys and a teaser is probably going to be very popular. I mean, to be fair, they've won two games straight up, but they're 6-5 against the spread. Mm-hmm. So they've at least shown the ability, you know, the participation trophy with Aaron Glenn has become very popular, where they're losing games, but at least they're in the games. And I think that is part of culture building, is you do have to learn how to lose before you can learn how to win. Or I guess I should say, let me rephrase. You have to learn how not to lose before you learn how to win. And I think that's the process the Jets are going through right now. And it's an ugly process. It ain't going to win any beauty contest, that's for sure. But you take a total of 38 and you tease it from 2.5 to 8.5. And I know the teaser prices have been a little bit, you know, ridiculous lately. But if you can find a relatively cheap teaser price, I feel like that's a fair leg to push as a home dog this week.
Yeah, I cannot bet the Falcons as a favorite.
A road favorite, absolutely not.
And a field goal, like a full field goal too. Like, I mean, this team, and now with Kirk Cousins quarterbacking too. I mean, like, this is a team I had pretty much high hopes for.
Me too. I bet the over win total and Raheem Morris coach of the year.
Completely wrong on this team. I thought they were going to win the division, all kinds of stuff.
Penix injury didn't help.
Yeah, couldn't have been more wrong on that. I think I would only be taking the points here, but fortunately, I don't have to bet those. And 49ers are on the road at Cleveland. This is 5.5 in favor of the 49ers on the road. We are down to 35.5 now in this one. So the reason being, this is your full-on weather game of the week. I don't know if you guys were looking at some of the stuff on Twitter yesterday showing the Browns practicing outside and what was going on over there in Cleveland, but we're showing sustained winds about 20 miles an hour, gusts 30-35, going to be some sort of precipitation. Now, whether that is freezing rain or snow, it just depends on just how low the temperature actually dips. But regardless, it's going to be something flying sideways in these guys' faces out there in this thing, which is why we get this total where it is right now, below the 36. Very preseason-esque total. Yeah.
And something to keep in mind here, because we're going to get a lot more of these weather games over the next month, especially snow. There is a common misconception with snow and the total. Blowing snow coming down and windy and blustery, that's bad for an over. But if there's just snow on the ground and it's not snowing, it actually, frankly, helps the over because it's harder for the defenders to plant. So the misconception is, oh, there's snow on the ground. Let me run to my app and bet the under. Is it snowing and is the snow blowing across the field? If the answer to those questions are no, don't bet the under. Mm-hmm. So on this particular game, it looks like there will be blowing snow coming down during the game, which is why the total has gotten whacked beyond oblivion. I mean, at some point, you got to imagine there will be some over money, probably in the low third, 32, 33, 34. Like, it depends on how bad things get on Sunday and how bad the forecast really does get, because to be fair, it's still only Saturday. We don't really know yet exactly what the conditions will be like. We'll know probably an hour or two before game time what it will actually be like during the window of them playing. But I think you just bet all the passing props under. I bet a Shador attempts prop under at 28.5. I think it's 27.5 now. Like, my handicap there is, do they really trust Shador, even if the weather's nice, to be throwing a whole lot? Mm. And now that it's not, you would imagine it's going to be a heavy Judkins game. The game script probably flips negative on them, but maybe not. Actually, the spread's kind of, you know, been tightened up a little bit. So maybe this is kind of a 1.5 score kind of game where Cleveland is within the number throughout, and they just try to manage Shador's reps.
Yeah, I bet McCaffrey over attempts.
That's,
and mainly like because he's averaging 18.2 attempts on the season as it is anyway, and his line is set at 18.5. And if we think that because of this weather, he even gets a couple of more carries, well, then there it is right
there's
there, right? Yeah, I mean, there it is right there. And if we think that, again, if this weather holds and it's going to be sustained 20, gusts of 30 to 35, and sideways either rain or snow, one of the two, they're not going to throw as much. He's going to get a few extra carries in this game. And the one thing that I love about the 49ers that you get with only a handful of teams, they don't give Brian Robinson a carry unless McCaffrey's carried like 9 times in a row on a drive or something, whatever. Like, the only carries he gets are when McCaffrey literally has already carried it like 5 or 6 times in a row. And if that's the case, that's doing us good anyway towards his number. So it's basically his backfield and his backfield alone. So I am playing the angle here, like we talk about, the game script.
Yeah, play the game script.
Hey, fewer pass attempts, more carries there for Christian McCaffrey, and we're getting a number that he's averaging on the season as it is anyway. So if he's averaging this on a normal week and we're getting this weather this week, Give me 2-3 extra carries and we get home easy on this.
I love it. I think that's frankly the best way to bet the NFL late in the year. I think you analyze what you think the game script will be. You literally write out the game script. Like for me with the Browns, you know, the Niners game, I wrote out, you know, I think this is going to be a weather game. I don't expect either team to be leaning on the pass and, you know, kind of filtered down from there. And then based off of that script, what props make sense? Mm-hmm. And Matt and I just kind of gave you a couple of them.
Minnesota Vikings are on the road at the Seattle Seahawks. This is 11.5 to 12.5 out there in the market. 41 to 41.5 is our total. JJ McCarthy's in the concussion protocol. Max Brosmer, if you had Max Brosmer making a start this season, good on you. Apparently, he is the first University of Minnesota quarterback to make a start since the 80s or something like that.
For the Vikings.
It's like something like that.
How about that?
Or maybe it's early 90s, something along in there, which is why this number is out to what it is. This Minnesota team stunk anyway, and now enter a dude that has no shot, like has no chance. This one's actually even more confusing to me than the Rams one, because this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
And so I don't know when Seattle calls off the dogs. I don't know when they're going to whatever. They've got a backup in Drew Locke that, like, I think they're perfectly fine trotting out there in the fourth quarter if need be. So, like, I don't know. Very, very tough handicap for me.
I went back and I looked at the Titans game when Seattle played Tennessee, and it was very one-sided. And that was one of the lowest pass rate over expected games of Sam Darnold's career. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just said, dude, chill. Like, so if, and that, to be fair, that game was fluky. I think there was like 2 special teams touchdowns in that game, or a defensive score, special teams score. There were a lot of non-offensive touchdowns in that game. I don't know if that'll be the case in this particular game. Mm-hmm. But my point being, if Seattle does get a lead, they feel very comfortable not letting Sam Darnold throw. So right out the game script, right? Seattle rushing yards over, Sam Darnold attempts, passing yards under. I mean, that to me feels like the way to play this one.
Yeah, it's, you know, I do wonder, too, is Minnesota really going to just, like, throw Brosmer to the dogs? Like, are they...
Seattle's defense ain't nothing to
play
with.
They're good. And, like, I mean, are they really going to have him throw 40 times in this game? Like, I almost feel like... I'm not going to say they're going to give up. And they're not throwing games in the NFL or any of that stuff, but...
Conservative script.
Yes, very conservative script.
That
so,
I can see.
Like,
you don't tank on the field. You tank in the meeting rooms and in the booth with what you call.
And it's like, you know, are they going to put this poor kid in a situation to throw 3 pick sixes or whatever? Like, you know, like, I don't think they
are. Might.
I mean, maybe, but it's just, it seems pretty unfair if they do. Alabama did kick a field goal, so we have some points on the board. It is 3-0 against Auburn, 6 minutes left in the second quarter. So definitely nothing going on over there on the plains. We got Buffalo and Pittsburgh, Vegas and the Chargers when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us here on a holiday weekend. Get a tweet that John Cena just made his final entrance at a PLE. I don't even know what that means.
No idea.
Of his historic WWE career. So I guess John Cena must be retiring.
PLE.
Yeah.
Someone help me in the back. I don't know what that means. Premium live event.
Oh, okay. All
right. So I guess it used to be called PPV, right? Pay-per-views. That's what it used to be called. I get back in my day. Back in my day.
I see.
They used to do, when I used to watch, it used to be called In Your House. And they used to actually do like a, they had like a set of like an actual house. And people would like slam them through the house as like part of the prop.
They don't actually really ever truly retire, because like he'll come back out and do something.
It's not like the NFL where Tom Brady has to retire. How many times did Tom retire? Twice.
Yeah. I mean, he'll come back and do something. Like I believe I
like him in movies, by the way. I think he's actually a good actor.
You know some of these like made for Netflix movies are made for what he was
amazing in. What was it with, I forget the movie's name. It was with Amari Stoudemire. I forget the name of it.
But
It'll come to me.
If
you remember the movie with John Cena when he was with... I want to say it was with Amy Schumer. and I forget the name of the movie. He played Amy Schumer's boyfriend in the movie.
Yeah, it is like surprising to me because, you know, you kind of saw it with The Rock, right? With Dwayne Johnson. Like,
yeah,
you kind of saw,
great.
Like, you knew, you're like, okay, this guy's probably, he's going to be a good actor.
Absolutely.
Like, you could see, you didn't really think it with John Cena, really? And then, like, and then you see him do his stuff and you're like, oh, this dude's
train wreck.
There it is. But you're like, this dude's got back. It. Like, he's actually got it.
Our producer, like, I'm guessing that was our producer, Johnny, saving me there. Train wreck. Amy, fantastic movie with Amy Schumer, and John Cena played her boyfriend, and he was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Nailed it. I mean, he really did. If you hadn't checked out any of the John Cena movies because you think they suck, they don't. They're good. They're actually good. I'll tell you who does suck, and that is Aaron Rodgers. And he is going to be hosting the Buffalo Bills this week as a 3-point dog. 45.5 to 46 is our total, though. Buffalo Bills are going to be going in this game without either tackle. So both of their starting tackles are out in this game. So that never makes anything easy. TJ Watt, by the way, you know, anybody want to take some TJ Watt sack props and stuff like that? I mean, that is, you know, dude's going to get home at least once, if not two, three, four, whatever times it is on that. It is a very interesting handicap for me because I think Aaron Rodgers is dust.
Washed.
But this Buffalo defense has tried to let every quarterback play good against them. And so I'm going, at what point do I either pull the trigger for or against this Buffalo? Do I got to take a stand on Buffalo, right? It's like, okay, I can get past the fact that this defense lets quarterbacks like do whatever. Or I go, you know what? To hell with this defense. The way that they keep doing this, I'm going to back the Steelers. I'm on the fence right there. Three just feels so appropriate.
It does.
Game.
And that's, again, it's another one of those scenarios where I think the prop market's your friend. Josh Allen tends to elevate his legs in these types of scenarios where the world is stacked against Buffalo. It's not a primetime game, but this is a must win kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And that's when his legs become activated Superman mode. So I was honestly surprised that his rushing yards prop was in the 20s.
Whoa. Yeah.
Too low.
And here's the other thing. So we can actually compound this handicap, which is with two tackles being out, he's probably going to be under duress more and have to just take off.
Absolutely. And the rushing attempts prop is another one that I love betting to the over. If I like the yards, you have to bet the attempts for two reasons. A, it's obviously correlated. B, the rushing attempts prop, you always get that little bonus cherry on top of maybe they take a knee after the half in the game. And that's a rushing attempt. So I don't just blindly bet rushing attempts every week because of that. But when I like the handicap of a rushing yards prop, I typically double down by also betting the rushing attempts prop. So I bet over 6.5 rushing attempts plus money. And I bet over 28.5 rushing yards, which is still available here at Circa.
What is your, thought on Aaron Rodgers? What is your, like, where do you think he falls as far as like competent quarterback play in 2020?
He's exactly where he's rated right now, which is basically average, maybe slightly below. The problem for the Steelers is they can't stop the run and they really struggle against the pass. Like, they're a bottom 10 defense EPA per play. Like, that's not going to win you games in the NFL when you have an average quarterback. To be fair, I think their defense has played slightly better lately than the first half of the year.
Agreed.
Which was really bad. Like, the first 8 games or so, they were like a bottom 5 defense borderline, which is crazy for Pittsburgh. But I just don't think their defense is good enough to win them games right now, which means you have to win games on the other side of the ball or with Mike Tomlin voodoo magic, which I just think maybe is starting to run out.
Yeah, like, I look, and it does seem like it's two defenses trending in opposite directions. It does look like Buffalo's defense kind of trending down as to where the Steelers defense is kind of trending up. It's very curious. Okay, then are we, as we continue to like just kind of talk through these to try to come to a conclusion, then there is a 46.5 out there in the market. How do we feel about do we think there are points in this thing? Like, how do the points come about if we think that maybe Buffalo's offense could be a little compromised? You're down your two starting tackles. I mean, it's going to be compromised. And then we're not in love with the play from Pittsburgh anyway. And we think their defense might be trending up a little bit. Does it get to 47 points in this game?
I don't think so. but Josh Allen could still steal you.
Yeah.
I think that to me is the one reason why I always struggle with unders in Bills games.
Mm-hmm.
Is because when Josh Allen does go into Superman mode, there really is no defense that can defend him. He really is kind of like Mahomes in that way, where even when he's under duress with a million guys in his face, no offensive line, no receivers, he still finds ways to make plays. And I just don't trust the Steelers defense still fully. Like, I think they're playing better, but I just don't trust them to win a game. And that's why Buffalo's favored.
The line is not pretty, but the score says 10 to nothing. Ty Simpson is 5 of 13 for 35 yards. Yeah, that's 2.7. But he does have 27 rush yards in this one, and it is equal to 10 points for this Alabama team. So they're on the road in the first quarter, a minute left, up 10 nothing on Auburn. Of course, this did get a lot of late Alabama money. As we said, this went off either at a heavily juiced 6.5 or a 7. So they are covering currently here in the first quarter. About a minute left, as we said, 10 nothing there, Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and, you know, Jam Miller's had a couple of nice runs. Daniel, I bet the over Daniel Hill rushing yards at 39.5. He's got 3 for 11, so he's not tearing it up. But they're spreading it around to their young group of receivers. Bernard's got a catch. Horton's got a catch. I actually like their tight end a lot. I think he's a sophomore. He's a young kid, their tight end. Cuevas had a really nice year. He does not have a catch yet today. But I saw some people I trust that were dabbling with his props. I think Bama's still on the front foot with their offense. But this Auburn run defense is doing a really good job. And I think that's going to be the key. Right now, Auburn's rushing defense is starting to get pushed around a little bit, right? 9 yards per carry, or 5 yards per carry, 9 yards per carry for Ty Simpson. And, of course, the one long scramble that's kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. You take that scramble out, and the Auburn run defense has done a good job here. The key is, can they complete a forward pass? And can they make any dent in this Alabama defense? Because once the game script flips negative and you remove the, all right, we're just going to slam it down your throat 50 times, and you got to now have Ashton Daniels throw it, that's tough.
We've gone to the half. Virginia's up 14 to nothing on Virginia Tech. Again, Virginia trying to move to 10-2 on the season and 7-1 there in the ACC. USC has allowed UCLA to tie this thing up. 8 minutes left in the second quarter, 7-7. Again, this went off. Right out here behind us started a movement across the industry, and it got all the way to USC minus 23 in this one. Going to need a nice performance here over the rest of this half and then into the second half as we're tied at 7. And, of course, as soon as I say that, big play, and they're into the red zone. So they're into the red zone now. 7:54 left, 7-7, but USC looking to add to that lead. Tulane 14 nothing over Charlotte. I don't know if any of y'all bet that game. Probably not. SMU,
Lord help you if you did.
Yeah, SMU 7-3 over Cal. That is running down shortly of the first quarter there. SMU with a nice little season, 8-3 on the season, looking to move to 9-3.
Yeah, I bet the SMU under 8.5 wins. I thought we were in good shape, and then they figure out a way to pull out that game out. What was it, the game they pulled out of there, took us? The Miami game. Yeah, that was the game that flipped it for me. I thought I was going to get home on that one, but they beat Miami, and it looks like they're going to finish the year 9-3, and it'll look like it'll be Virginia and SMU in the ACC championship game.
And the big finals from earlier, again, that are going to affect a lot of things. Vandy gets it done convincingly, 45-24 over Tennessee. Miami gets it done convincingly over Pittsburgh, 38-7. And then it took a late score, but it doesn't really matter. A score is a score is a score. Oklahoma moves to 10-2 on the season, 17-13 over LSU. LSU could not convert a 4th-and-2 down there close to the end zone. And then Oklahoma is going to get the win there, 17-13, move to 10-2, 99% chance that they get into the playoffs, according to the numbers people out there. Raiders and Chargers, Broncos and the Commanders when we come back.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're just laughing because like every third tweet that comes through is about this Lane Kiffin stuff, and like everyone's just like, "What's going on?"
Do you want to hear a good one? I got a good one.
Lane Kiffin's
got
to be sitting because, like you said, he's actually media savvy, social media. Yeah. He's sitting there laughing so hard right now that everyone is just like monitoring every single move that he makes.
So here's a good one. This is from a Ole Miss reporter. Sources on the ground in Oxford confirm that Lane Kiffin and Keith Carter, right, that's the chancellor, or the AD, are still meeting at the chancellor's house because they showed a picture of their cars at the house. So I guess they're still – now, who knows? Maybe he has a second car and he snuck out the back door and, like, did the old escape. But it maybe seems like they're still talking this thing out, which I would say is good news if you're an Ole Miss fan.
I mean, yeah, no, it's the – the only word that I think was definitely credible leading into this was that Ole Miss was going to try to match.
Yeah, open the piggy bank. Yeah,
that they were going to not go out without a fight.
Though. Yeah, it makes sense because if you know what the offer is and you know what Lane can bring in, go to the mat. Like, this is your chance. You're 11-1. You're going to probably host a playoff game. Like, this is your moment for Oxford, Mississippi. They've never played. I think they've never won. I think they've maybe played in it. I don't think they've ever won the SEC championship game. And obviously they've never been to the playoff because it hasn't been around that long. Yeah. But this is it. This is the moment. Go all in. Shove your chips to the middle, Chancellor of Ole Miss.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know who the richest.
Whoever it is, give them a call.
Donor for Ole Miss is out there. Every school has a super rich person
Arthur
that went
Piggy
there.
Banks?
Yeah. I mean, like every school has a super rich person.
Oh, wait, who was the Monopoly guy? It was Arthur Pennybags. Pennybags.
LSU was fortunate enough to have a guy who thought selling chicken fingers was a smart idea.
Who was that, Tyson?
And the guy who started Canes.
Canes. Gotcha. Tyson's at the Arkansas.
When I was in college, there was one Raising Canes. It was just right off of campus or whatever. So and now there's like 3,000 worldwide, whatever. He's like worth several billion dollars now and all this stuff. So he slung chicken fingers and now at least he gives money back to LSU to help us fire coaches and get new coaches and all of
that. Yeah, we're going to have they're going to start charging you more money for the chicken fingers at Canes after that Brian Kelly buyout. They're going to have to up the profit margins there.
Oh boy, this one is an interesting handicap. I'm sure we'll talk more about this one whenever Derek and Jeff join us next segment. Of course, you're not going to want to go anywhere as the contest show will continue here on VSiN. The Las Vegas Raiders on the road at the LA Chargers. 9.5, 10 in favor of the Chargers at home. 40.5 to 41 is the total out there. And I say at home, but Jared, I mean, the Chargers have no home field advantage as it is anyway. And then now you get the Raiders coming to town who used to be there. I bet you this is like 60-40, 70-30, something like that in favor of the Raiders. It is you and I were talking about this before we even started the show today. So 3 hours ago, we're talking about this. So it got to 10 here. It got to 10. I took the 10 points with the Raiders. I mean, the offense cannot be worse. And so you get rid of Kelly, who obviously did not know how to call an NFL offense. And, dude, if Brock Bowers does not have 12-plus targets in this game, then they should also fire Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll then should also be fired after this game. The first thing you do, I don't even know who it was that he gave play calling duties to, but whoever.
Greg Olsen, not the receiver, not the tight end.
So we have this guy who is a unicorn. You can line him up at wide receiver. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up in line. You can do whatever. He's a mismatch for every single person on the field. We need to target him a dozen times in this game. If we don't do that, then I'm going to get canned. Like, you are going to get me fired. You don't want to get me fired. Now, do you? I don't want to get fired. Targets for Brock Bowers.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
So this will now be the 8th offensive play caller for the Raiders since October of 2021. It's a lot. You look at what the Raiders are coming into the year. We were all a lot of really smart people were very high on Vegas. It's the same team that we were very high on coming into the year. It's just obviously, well, to be fair, no, I think they lost an offensive lineman. JPJ, I think, is down. And you know, without a couple weapons, right, they traded Jacoby Myers away. Well, but for the most part, it's the same team.
Exactly. And I mean, the reason I was wrong, and I didn't think they'd win a bunch of games, I just thought they would be feisty.
Yeah, me too.
Because I go, hey, you at least solidified the quarterback position. Well, that was just wrong on my part. It was a bad read. Geno Smith, for whatever reason, has regressed to levels that we, I mean, it's such it's such a rapid rate that whatever, but it is 10 points against this Chargers team. It has the worst offensive line by far in the NFL. I mean, like by far, they don't have like a, even like a replacement level dude starting for them right now. I mean, and so Max Crosby can't like make this enough of a slog for this Chargers team to keep this thing within double digits. Like, I just kind of think that he can.
And the Chargers are coming off arguably the most surprising and lopsided score of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That game in Jacksonville, now they're coming off the bye, to be perfectly fair, but their last game 2 weeks ago in Jacksonville was one of the more eye-popping scores and results of the season. I mean, I call it belt to ass. Like, it was just very one-sided. And you would expect them to be very upset about that. And usually teams that are coming off of a blowout loss tend to play well and cover the next game, but not necessarily when they're a big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I struggle a little bit with the Chargers here. So I think the Raiders at 10 would be a decent bet if one of those things flashes. Like, you know, for the most part, people like to bet the favorites. And to your point about the home field, I think the Raiders have a significant edge in LA if they play the Rams or if they play the Chargers, more so the Chargers than the Rams, because the Rams at least do have some A, success. B, they've won a Super Bowl there. They have a little bit of a fan. The Chargers have nothing.
No. Chargers have nothing, and like their fans also don't want to show up and get beat up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's going to be over under number of fights in the stands in this one. Like
at least one or two.
Oh, I would have set the line at 4.5.
It's a good number.
Four and a half fights in the stands in this thing. So like, yeah, they don't want to go and like take the chance on getting clubbed in the head with a beer bottle. So I mean, like, there's that as well.
They
so
use plastic these days to avoid that stuff. Yeah, I think.
It is. It really is. I know. But I'm talking about the one the guy smuggled in.
Oh, like, snuck in the flask.
Yeah, he snuck in the flask.
Starts knocking
the beer bottle
upside the head. Those Raiders fans get nuts, man. Yeah. They get nuts.
And listen, everything in traditional sports betting also, and I'm not saying that it definitely applies to this game. I will say, though, everything in traditional sports betting, if you're getting 10 points in a game with a 40.5 total.
A lot needs to go right for you to cover.
You just take the 10 points. I mean, it's a ridiculously low total, and that should be, you know, should lead you to want to take the 10 points and all of that. I think we've seen the absolute worst of this Raiders team. And so, again, the firing of Chip Kelly, I believe, can only be good for them.
How about that? And we talk about that in the college football ranks. Chip Kelly, highest paid coordinator in the sport, $6 million, doesn't make it to Thanksgiving.
Done so.
Like what? Like, we have a problem in the NFL and in college football with the way these coaches are hired, the structure of the contracts. Like, that, players make that.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Players make more than that, obviously, but a lot of players, some make less than that. I don't know. I was very wrong on this Raiders team coming into the year. I was certain that Chip Kelly and Geno were going to be a very pungent elixir, but it's been more on the negative pungent side, on the very, like a skunk almost.
Our nightcap will be Denver and Washington. We will not get back Jaden Daniels in this game. A big return on the Denver side, however, is Pat Surtain will be back in there for them. Obviously a lockdown corner. Who he's going to line up against, I guess he will go after Terry McLaurin, but it is a 6.5 point spread for the Broncos on the road over Washington, whose defense has been just an absolute sieve here over the last couple months.
Yeah, you got to look to Denver here. And I know that it's not sexy on the road.
Yeah.
Denver hasn't been a sexy win team this year. They have kind of gotten by the skin of their teeth. But the Commanders' defense has been trending down in a big way. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those streak games, right? Washington's lost 6 in a row. Denver's won 8 in a row. Do you really want to back the team that's on a 6-game losing streak?
Yeah.
It's tough for me to get there.
I can't get there either. The problem here for me is Marcus Mariota is fine, but I think we try to rate these quarterbacks like on a sliding scale. We're like, he's fine for a backup. And it's like, yeah, but he's a backup. There's a reason he's not starting in the NFL. And I think it's going to be too much against this Denver defense that is right up there with the Texans as far as best defenses in the NFL. Into the end zone again for Alabama, 17-0. So this could be
one-sided.
A run out here over in Auburn, and Alabama going to stake their claim for the college football playoff as well.
Get me that over 9.5 wins home, baby. I've been sitting on that one for 5 months.
There you go. You're going to have some more money in your account.
Let's
here.
Go. Yeah.
They can't take those wins
away
from you. Do not go anywhere. The contest show coming up right after the break. Derek Stevens, Jeff Benson going to join us on the desk here. Millions, the chaos of the last 48 hours, and, of course, Week 13B.